Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered and here with me, as she is always. Of course, my name is Matthew Rushing, but I can't do this show alone. And as I was about to mention before I rudely interrupted myself, the wonderfully amazing fellow Ravenclaw, Drea Kaufman.
I love that you do. I love that you both forgot yourself and then interrupted yourself and then insulted yourself for interrupting yourself. There's just everything was wonderful about that opening.
I mean, I can be a huge git. What can I say?
He's really not a big git, I promise.
Oh, man. Which is a... If we had been recording about 20 seconds earlier, people would have realized what we were talking about, but...
We should just compile a giant list of all the random stuff we say.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Some of it's really funny too. You know, I gotta say, sometimes we are really funny together. Some of it's definitely after hours conversation as well. So
definitely not for you for you young ears. Definitely not.
But welcome to Owl Post. We're excited to be here as we're going to be talking about chapter 14 of The Order of the Phoenix, Percy and Padfoot. But before we get there, one, we wanted to call out, we got a wonderful email from listener Camilla. Camilla's email was pretty personal, so we weren't going to share it with you. But we did want to say thank you so much for writing us an email. It really meant a lot for us to get that email and to hear how our show has impacted your life in a really positive way. So both Dre and I really appreciate anybody being able to willing to share with us. But I mean, I can just say, Dre, and I think I can speak for you too. The fact that we've had a positive influence on anybody's life with this show means the world to us.
Yeah, it definitely is not what we set out to do. It's a incredibly happy byproduct of what I think you're in my goal of this was. So it was very touching that you felt like you could trust us and share with us. And that just makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. So... it was really great to hear.
I feel like I've had a few butter beers after I read your email.
Or regular beers, but yeah.
Well,
some fire whiskey, maybe.
Too, so. Some fire whiskey, yeah.
Apparently, I'm just after hours today, guys. Sorry about that. Yeah, but it was really great. And I believe she left a review as well, which we actually can read.
Yes. It was Finally People That Get It, 5 stars by Cami94. I do believe this is the same person. If it's not, forgive us and let us know.
And
who
it's
you
still
were.
Amazing that you can review it. So.
Exactly. It is really amazing. And 5 stars. They said, I was rereading The Order of the Phoenix and I wanted so badly to discuss it with someone. No one in my life is as into Harry Potter as I am, sadly. I love podcasts, and so I looked for a Harry Potter podcast and came across Owl Post. I'm so glad, too. I love Dre and Matt's commentary. It's great to come to a platform where I can geek out about Harry Potter with people who understand and love it as well. I can't wait to go back and listen to the episodes of the previous books and for future episodes. Thank you. And we really appreciate that. You know, that's one of the things I think I like about our show is that it is kind of, you could come in on any book, you know, and you could listen to this anytime that you're reading the Harry Potter series or just whenever. So yes, thank you so much. You can actually talk to us all over the place too. Go to Twitter at @JoinNerdParty, follow at @JoinNerdParty, and use the hashtag OwlPost. And Drea and I will talk to you there. We love talking with fans. Of course, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. We post our shows every single week there. And that's a great forum for you to be able to share what you think about the episode or you think about Harry Potter. So please do check that out. And then you can find us everywhere you get your podcasts. And like Cami94, you could leave us a review and star rating on Apple Podcasts and help other people find the show. Also, too, wherever you get your podcast, it doesn't matter where it is, but make sure you're subscribed because if you're subscribed, you will get Owl Post as soon as I release the episode. So make sure you do that. And then last but not least, maybe you would like to send us an email. go to thenerdparty.com/contact, choose a show, choose Owl Posts, and then Drea and I will get that email and we'll be able to talk to you that way. So,
I was just thinking about people jumping into our podcast in later books. I feel like we get a little crazier each book. And I'm just interested in how deep into our insanity people are entering. Like they start listening to something and these people are like, these people are weird. Apparently not. So that's a good sign.
Apparently,
but that was what
we're
I was
lovable,
that,
Drea. Who knew?
That's what I was convinced. I was convinced as this goes on, I'm sounding more and more insane. So that's good to know that I'm not.
No, I don't think you are. I think you just sound as insane as always.
Oh, good to know. That is fair. That is fair.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, this chapter kind of starts out sleepy in the sense that, you know, Harry wakes up in the morning. It has been a first week that he... I love the way that Rowling describes it as one gigantic history of magic lesson.
I know, right? Man, she nailed that one.
Which, you know, some weeks of my life I actually feel like that too. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. But I really appreciate that this chapter... I mean, there is not a lot that happens in this chapter until the very, very end. It's just kind of a lot of happenings during this weekend that they have between their first and second week of school. And it is kind of nice, I think, you know, with everything that's been going on through the last couple of chapters, it's really nice to kind of have one where we kind of take a moment and let everyone breathe until the very end of the chapter. And we kind of drop some, you know, knowledge bombs on everybody about some things that are going on. So for the most part, I had to say that, like, this chapter just kind of felt like a little bit of catharsis. I felt a little bit like Harry. The last few chapters, I just kind of feel like have beaten me up.
Yeah, it's been a little tough the last couple chapters for sure. There's just a lot that's happened too that we need to like a moment to process, right? Like we just need to stop and kind of think about what we just went through. So at least from that perspective here at the beginning, I like that we get like a kind of a breath of fresh air and, you know, just a moment.
Well, and it's just kind of a nice thing. You know, Harry, he's going to write Sirius a letter. I really kind of loved how as he's trying to do this and he's trying to do it in code, he appreciates how hard it was for Ron and Hermione over the summer when he was really mad at them for not really writing him. Mm-hmm. And as he's trying to write this letter, he's like, oh, I guess I get this now. Like, how do I say what I want to say without saying it in a way that anybody else could get? And this is not easy. And so that's one of the things that I think I really appreciate about this book is that there's a lot of perspective that happens for a lot of the characters throughout the book, and especially Harry, where he begins to understand some things that he hasn't understood before, where his eyes are just kind of opened and he kind of like realizes, oh, so that's what that's all about, you know? And I think that's what's interesting is that this book is very much like growing up, because I think we have those moments as we all grow up, right? Where we're like, oh, that's why my parents said that.
You talk about when you we're know? Growing up, I do that regularly. I'm like, oh, so that's why you don't do that. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I don't mix wine and beer.
Oh, that's why you drink water while you drink fire whiskey.
Yes. I mean, it is really, I think it's a really wonderful part of this chapter. So he writes Sirius and he's off to send out the letter. He goes to the Owlry. There's the little moment where nearly headless Nick is like, oh, don't go that way. Peeves is like gonna drop something on somebody's head if you go that way, so make sure you go the other way. And so Harry's just like enjoying the morning. I mean, he's having a leisurely stroll. The morning seems to be beautiful, and so he's walking past the Quidditch pitch, which he can't wait to be on later on that day, which for him is a real joy. He hasn't been on there the whole time he's been at school yet, and then he happens to see one of those weird reptilian horse thingies flying around the Forbidden Forest, which kind of freaks him out a little bit.
Yeah, and he's like, what? And he's, I mean, I think that would freak me out too. Don't you think?
Yes. And I actually, I kind of forgot that we went back to that a little bit here. Like I did not remember that this was the moment where he sees them again and it kind of brings it back.
Yeah, I had forgotten that as well.
But that's really not the thing he remembers as much when he runs into Cho, who's also sending a letter. And they have one of the cutest little conversations I've ever seen.
So the actual interaction itself is similar to the movie, right? So you kind of remember, oh yeah, she's there, and it catches him off guard, and he gets all like, oh, over her again, right? Like, you remember this. However, what I didn't remember in the book is that we get like his inner thought commentary as it's happening to him. And it was hilarious. Like, it's just amazing. Like, you're just like, oh, you're so cute. Because is what he does like the entire time. And it's adorable.
The whole conversation is definitely something where Harry can feel that way, because he is getting a lot of great vibes from Cho, who's talking about how, you know, she really respects Harry for standing up to Umbridge and how awful she is, and how, you know, she really appreciates that he was standing up for the fact that, you know, that Voldemort is back, and that, you know, she was honoring Cedric's memory, you know, and not letting her get away with telling lies. And, you know, like, Harry's just feeling better and better about himself, you know, this moment. And like, he's like, who cares about the stupid flying horse? Cho thought I was brave.
He's like, I don't need that. Cho thought I was brave. Like, he thinks that all the way down to breakfast. He's just like, that is what he remembers.
Yes, which is kind of great, until they're rudely interrupted by Filch, who for some reason thinks that Harry is sending a letter to get dung bombs, which is the strangest thing.
Yeah, I don't remember this at all. Like, this, I feel like this is going to be a thing, because otherwise why would she bring it up? But I legitimately don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either, which is kind of fun to not remember some of these things. So I'm excited to see what it is. And I do like too that, again, Harry has another reason to you know, pee a little bit gaga over Cho, because we get that moment where Filch is accusing him of getting dung bombs, and she's like, no, he just came up here to send a letter. I've been with him here pretty much the whole time. And I love that.
I saw him send it.
Yes.
Like, without even hesitating. She's just like, nope, I saw him send it. And you're like, go, girl.
It's on. And I love the moment, because I love, you know, Filch leaves and she's like, you weren't, you know, ordering dung bombs, where he's like, no. He's like, she's like, I wonder why in the world he thought you were. And again, you're absolutely right. It's that moment where, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, you just have no idea why. Like, why he would think that.
Yeah, it's very strange. And so it's a moment where, though, I love that Harry gets to breakfast and he's just like beaming. And she even says, Rowling even puts it that Harry gets, you know, behind Harry and Ron, he's like, how are you guys? You know, like, good morning. And he's like getting him all the eggs and bacon that they have, you know, like he's getting second helpings and he's like in a really good mood. And he's like, why are you in such a good mood? And he's like, oh, I'm just really excited for Quidditch later.
Well, I like that he like takes a minute and has to be like, I'm just excited for Quidditch. And you're like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, this is also an interesting moment, because we learn a couple of things from Hermione getting the Daily Prophet. And one of them is that the Ministry thinks that they know where Sirius Black is now.
Uh-oh. And it's not good. I mean, it's not good at all. At all.
Well, and especially when we put that together with the fact that what Malfoy said at the beginning to Harry you know, you put those two things together and it's like, oh, ooh, I wonder if somebody really does know where Sirius is. So the kids are really worried about that. And then Sturgis Podmore, who was supposed to be with Harry and bring him to the Order of the Phoenix headquarters at the beginning of the book, who wasn't there, has been caught, apparently, in the Ministry of Magic trying to get into a top secret door and has been arrested and sent to Azkaban.
For like 6 months or something.
And it's weird because, too, the kids are trying to piece this together. Like, what in the world is going on? And I kind of love that Ron is like, well, it could be a frame-up, you know, like, that the Ministry suspects maybe he's one of Dumbledore's, and so they lured him there. And Harry's thinking to himself, oh, that's ridiculous. And then Hermione is actually the one's like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's true. Like, and in this moment, you're like, is Hermione turning out to be really, really cynical?
You're like, who is this? Because it's very uncharacteristic.
It is. It's very strange for her. Although what's not strange is that she gets all on their case because instead of going to do homework, they're going to go practice Quidditch. And she thinks they're idiots because they're not going to do their homework.
Well, I mean, I guess I kind of think they're idiots too, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I do. But if you have that much homework, I mean, come on.
You know, I think it's interesting because there is that them not wanting to do their homework. It's not that they don't want to do their homework, but I can specifically understand why Harry just needs to get out of the castle.
Right.
You know, because he's been stuck in there all week and it has been an awful week. So for him to go out there and play Quidditch and practice Quidditch with his friend, which he is, you know, helping his Quidditch team by doing that. And in fact, Angelina even asked him to work with, you know, Ron to right. help him. So it's not as though he is neglecting duties that he has because he is a part of this team. But they also have all this massive amount of homework. What's really awful is that later on, after lunch, when they actually go to have actual Quidditch practice, it goes from bad to worse because, well, Malfoy and his gang are there, and they're making fun of Ron the whole time. And Katie Johnson has a nosebleed, and one of the twins mistakenly gives her the wrong candy and makes it absolutely worse. And so they really don't even get to practice all that much anyway.
And then Angelina's like annoyed and just, it doesn't work out well for anybody.
Well, and this is a moment too where, like, you know, as we mention all the time, I just hate Malfoy and him and his gang just being there to like make fun of people. Like, this is just one of those moments where you just like, I really want to slap this kid.
Yeah. Yep. Just listening to these kids taunt, maybe it's been a really long time since I've been in school, or maybe I'm just like uber naive, but like, where are the teachers? Where are the teachers to be like, all of this is definitely in the bullying category. Like, this crosses the line from just disagreements to straight up bullying, and no one's around to like care. And that bothers me a lot.
I mean, it bothers me too that the kids are treating each other this way. But I do think there's a part of me that wants kids to be a little tougher these days, you know? And like, so.
Yeah, some of this borderlines on like.
Oh, yeah.
Over the edge. Like, I get that we need to toughen our skin a little. And I mean, we've all learned, I think, from that. It's not pleasant to go through, but like, I don't know. Some of us, or most of us, are at least grateful to have had that experience in a more, I don't know, tame capacity. But
yes,
I just this to me was like too far. Like, let them taunt, let them do their thing. But like, when they started crossing that line, that's when it's like, all right, you're done. Like,
and I do agree with that because I think you're absolutely right. There is a point here in this chapter. And this specifically, you know, like when you're just there to call out insults and all of those kind of things to somebody. Like, there's no reason for that. You know, this is even part of another. It's like they're not even playing a game against each other. You know, they're not in a Quidditch game where they're smack talking back and forth. That's not what's happening. So I definitely agree. This is one of those moments where you do kind of wish that there was an adult around to be like, you guys shouldn't be here. Go. Get out.
Maybe there should have been an adult around to assign them more, like, homework. Because they, if they have time to sit out there and heckle when they're not even practicing, then they don't have enough homework.
Well, and it does make me kind of wonder, it feels like, shouldn't Madam Hooch be out there, you know, to monitor Quidditch practice just for safety anyway?
You would kind of think, but apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, apparently not, but I love that it just kind of all goes to crap and they get back to the castle and Hermione's like, how was it? And Ron's like, it was awful. It was completely awful. And she's like, well, it was just your first one. And he just jumps down her throat like, oh yeah, just assume it was all because of me. And like, it's very classic. Like, there's a lot of teenage angst happening.
Yeah, that was rough. And you're like, dude, I know, but... And then she's like, I love that the reaction they have Harry do, though, is like, he was like, well, was he that bad? And he's like, no. Well, yeah.
Like, but then he's like, but it was his first time.
I know. Like, he tries to, and I love that the wording she uses is like, no, he says loyally or something like that. And you're like, you got to give it to him. But at the same time, come on, man. He really was that bad.
Well, and then they spend all day Sunday in their common room doing homework, and it's just like, it's the worst. And I love that it's really late, and Ron, Harry's like, do you think that maybe we could just ask Hermione? No, you know she's not going to let us look at her work. Yeah.
And I do. I love that they were like, yeah, he was like, no, she's not. Yeah, she's serious. She isn't going to let us.
Well, and then she comes over and like nearly done and he's like, no. And then she starts to correct their essays and he's like, well, thanks. She's like, I'm so sorry, just trying to help. And Ron again just jumps down her throat. He's like, look, I don't have time to finish this. I've up to my neck in work. And that's when we see the fact that there's an owl out the window and it's Percy's owl, Hermes, delivering Ron a message really late at night.
This is totally unexpected, and everyone's a little excited because I feel like they all miss Percy. And so they really want to see what it says, and they're so excited to read it. And then they read it.
I labeled this section basically useful idiot.
I agree with the big fat git.
Yeah. Because that's really what Percy has become. Is the useful idiot who's being used by the ministry and those that are running it because he's willing to buy whatever they're selling without a thought. Like, he's willing to turn on Dumbledore, he's willing to turn on his family, and the main reason is because Percy is a person that is so wanting to be accepted by those in power that he's willing to throw anybody under the bus necessary as long as it means that he's going to be a part of that in group. And
he has this, he is the ultimate case of not thinking for yourself. Like, he is straight up what happens when you don't think for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that the scary part of it is that I think we all kind of have seen this happen in the real world. And we've seen this happen with people. And the whole point of the, you know, the letter is how, you know, he should distance himself from Dumbledore. He should distance himself with Harry Potter because that Harry Potter kid's not all right in the head. And, you know, if he has any questions, you know, you should really talk to that Dolores Umbridge. She's a wonderful person. She can give you great advice. And how his loyalty should be to Ron. His loyalty should be to the school and to the ministry, not Dumbledore or Harry. And this is the part where I just finished rewatching again Man in the High Castle season 3, and I was totally getting those type of vibes. Like, your loyalty is to the party. Your loyalty is to the, you know, the it's kind of what Percy is saying. Your loyalty is to the Reich dogma, you know, like, not to any one person. And it's just that kind of thought process, like you said, not thinking for himself. And it's really scary, especially since it's coming from somebody that we've known in this series. And right. I mean, he came from a good family and everything. So
it is. It's just a real bad situation. And it just shows kind of how far gone he is. And it's sad. And when I read this, I don't think this isn't in the movie at all. So some of the stuff in the books that aren't in the movie, I tend to forget, only because it's been a while since I've reread the books. And so I remember when I was reading this, I was like holding my breath a little bit, going like, what is Harry going to fly off the handle? Is Ron going to, like, what are we going to see? But I think it was the perfect response, and that Ron just basically crumples it up and gets angry and throws it away without anybody prompting, without anybody, nothing. Like, his immediate reaction is that Percy is just high. Like, he is just buying what they're selling and he doesn't agree. And I love that just unwavering confidence in Harry and in the right, in what doing what's right. And we don't see that often. We don't see that in others. And he's so decisive and isn't swayed, even though Percy is basically telling him almost everything he wants to hear. You're loved, you're accepted, you're smart, you can do this. So it's just perfect. I mean, the whole thing sucks, but it's perfect.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because Percy even mentions that something's going to be happening announced in the Daily Prophet tomorrow. So there's this big thing that's looming now over the beginning of the week. And yeah, I agree with you. I really like, you know, his immediate reaction is just, I sever tie. Like, you can just see him like ripping the thing up and like being Ron just being totally pissed. And I just kind of love Hermione, the way that she reacts to this. She goes, oh, give me those. They're essays. And Hermione, you're a lifesaver. What can I say? And she's like, but you can say that you're going to promise to never leave your homework to the last minute again. And I just love that both of the boys are just like singing her praises in that moment.
But I also love that, like, she stays true to her word, right? I'm not gonna let you copy, but she waits until she knows they're in a tough place and she doesn't want to make it any worse. So she's doing what she does best to support them, right? Like, even though Ron is angry at Percy, like, it still hurts to reject a family member. And like, it's still hard to be like, this is my brother and I don't want anything to do with him anymore. And you know, like, and he's insulted my parents. Like, she knows without having to say anything that the best thing she can do to support him in this moment is just to take it on. I'm just going to take it over. Like, that's what she does. So
I love that Ron's like, you're just the most wonderful person I've ever met. And if I'm ever rude to you again, she's like, I'll know you've gone back to normal.
Yeah. It is funny and true.
It is. But, you know, those are the little moments that kind of happen between them where it's like, there's a little something there, maybe. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's maybe. Cute. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe. I really enjoy this moment while Hermione is, you know, looking over their essays and Harry's thinking to himself, people think this about me. You know, like, this isn't just anybody, this is Percy. Like, I've known him since I was 11, and he thinks this about me. Like, and that means that all of those people that, like, out there that are just reading the Daily Prophet every day, they probably think that about me, too. And, like, there's this real moment where he's just, like, really struck by that. But he doesn't have too long to think of it because Sirius's head pops in the fire.
And I love that he's like, they're like, what are you looking at? He's like, I think I just saw Sirius's face. And they're like during the Triwizard tournament? And he's like, yeah? Like, I just see the head tilts as she's writing it, like the weird little head tilts back and forth. I'm just envisioning it.
Yeah, it's funny. And that Sirius is there. He is there to talk to Harry because he, you know, got the note. And he didn't want to obviously write a note back and have anything happen to it. So he's been popping in every hour, seeing if the coast is clear. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I'm pretty sure maybe a first year saw me, but it was probably for a few seconds. She probably just thought it was a log. It's fine.
And I like that they're like, someone could have seen you. And he's like, eh, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
He's like, you sound like Molly.
Oh, geez.
Oh, goodness. Well, and this is the moment where we get a lot of information, and specifically about Dolores Umbridge and who she is and what she's all about and kind of why she's here.
I do like that in Percy's arrogance earlier in this chapter, he shares a lot of very valuable information to them in an attempt to show how trusted he should be and how amazing he is, which is his downfall, honestly. And I do love that they kind of are able to immediately validate that, if you will, or try to validate that. And since Sirius just showed up, and they can kind of be like, hey, so this is what we heard. What do you know? And we find out that he's basically kind of like out of the loop for the most part. And that he hasn't really talked to anybody, and he sounds more and more sort of sad and lonely and a little depressed, honestly.
Well, and it makes sense for him, you know, to feel that way, because he's been alone pretty much this like whole week with Creature, and that's it.
Yep.
And because the Order has been too busy, which, you know, we got a thought that they might have been from Percy's letter. And, you know, the thing that I thought was so interesting is we learn a lot about how Dolores hates half-breeds, as she thinks of them,
mm-hmm.
Such as werewolves and anything else like centaurs, any of those type of magical creatures like that.
And I like in that sense, too, we get a little insight on how sort of the overall wizarding world is impacted, too, because Harry mentions the fact that, you know, oh, that explains why Lupin was kind of looking worse for the wear the last time we saw him. And I love that Harry's like, that makes me hate him even more, or it makes me hate Umbridge even more, you know. But go on, don't let me interrupt you. You've already done that yourself.
Well, and we also learn that, you know, the reason why they're not teaching them anything,
mm-hmm. which is the most insane thing I've ever heard. The fact that the ministry thinks that children are being taught to become a army that Dumbledore will use to rise up and gain power, like, is just the most asinine thing I have ever heard.
And it's what's really disturbing about it all is it's all predicated on the fact that they don't want, the ministry does not want to believe that Voldemort is back, because Fudge will not allow that to be the truth, even though it is the truth.
Right. And it shows how far, like, dissolved this government has become, how paranoid, how just crazy pants this is becoming.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, honestly. And there's not another word for it other than it is just ridiculous to see.
Yeah. It just shows how much it can't be trusted. Like, how much the government has sort of lost control
of reality.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really lost all sense of reality.
And I love that the comparison for that is that's crazy. And we, I mean, that's even, And we've even been listening to Luna lately, you know, like it basically that Luna is used as the measurement of craziness. Like you feel bad, but you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. We do get a little information about Hagrid because they ask about, you know, if they had any news. And we do get a little news that he had been on a trip with Madame Maxime and that they had gotten separated on the way home. But Sirius is pretty sure he's fine, not to worry about him. And the best thing to do is not ask a lot of questions about Hagrid because all that does is bring attention to the fact that he's not there.
Right. And so they need to stop asking.
And this is the part that was really sad when Sirius is like, so when do you guys have the next Hogsmeade? I could meet you guys. And they're all like, no.
They're like, don't do that.
What's really interesting is we have that little moment where he's like, man, you're a lot less like your father than I thought. James would have thought the risk was fun. And Harry's just like, I don't want you back in Azkaban.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
Right.
Like, why would I want that?
But I think that it goes to show the strain that Sirius is under. You know, being locked up in the house all this time. I mean, it's a little bit better than Azkaban, but it's not great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. It's not great, but it's tough. I mean, he wants out and he wants to...
Yeah, it is frustrating. It's hard for them because this is where we leave things and, you know, the kids go to bed. And
yeah, it's a pretty short chapter, honestly.
It is. There's not a lot that happened in this chapter, but there at the very end, we get a lot of information that kind of brings a lot of things into focus. But we also have this kind of dread because we've got something that's coming. You know, Percy has told us that there's going to be an announcement in the Daily Prophet. It's not going to be good, it sounds like, for the Order of the Phoenix, basically. And for those that support Dumbledore. Yeah. Well,
that's what I have to say about her. My official stance on this is
spoilers.
Grrr. Which, fun fact, is also my cat's name. No, grrr.
Well, if anybody would like to see pictures of Grrr or follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at PCFcheck or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's Kaufman.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd all in the same name, MattRushing02. You can find me here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills, talking about Star Wars each and every week. Then I'm over on the Trek FM network doing two shows. I do The Orb with Chris Jones, talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I do the 602 Club, which is our general geek show where we talk about all of the fandoms we love. I do that with Christy Morris, and you can check that out. And then last but not least, I'm doing Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney, and that is where we talk about films, but through the lens of faith. And we want to say thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.